This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We are talking about award predictions, playoff predictions, some real-life NBA stuff on the podcast today. Let's go.
Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. He's responsible.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am Mitch Casey and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Not necessarily a fantasy basketball podcast today, but I am still joined by the fantasy guru himself, Callum Mack. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, Mitchie. How are you going?
Excellent, mate. It's officially down to the wire. We are around the corner from NBA basketball. Super excited. We've got our draft, our fantasy draft coming up this weekend at time of recording. We probably have already drafted by the time this video comes out, actually. So we'll let everyone know. Follow us on Twitter and you'll see me doing laps of victory already, hopefully. We'll see how we go. But today, we are talking some real-life NBA sort of stuff, taking away the fantasy side of things. We like to talk real NBA too, so if you are normally a fantasy basketball viewer, welcome. This is our thoughts on actual NBA, so stick around, and we'd love to hear your thoughts too. So let us know in the comments what you think about predictions for playoffs, awards, and all that sort of thing. But let's get straight into it. Let's dive into it straight away. We're going to start with some playoff predictions, and starting off over in the East, I want to throw it over to you, Callum. Firstly, give me your top six in the East, so that the teams that you think are going to avoid the play-in tournament, and in order, please.
Okay, I have the Nets at the number one seed for the East. Okay. I then have the Milwaukee Bucks coming in second, Miami Heat in third, which I think is no real surprise that those top three. I will say I think most people have those top three up there.
Yep.
I have the Philly 76ers at four, the Celtics at five, the Atlanta Hawks at six.
You know, it's so funny. We don't talk about these sort of things before we do these podcasts. And I can tell you that I have the exact same list in the exact same order. So there you go. We talk too much about basketball. We've started molding together into one mind. There was one difference. The only difference is I've got the Milwaukee Bucks and the Nets flipped. So I've got the Bucks at one and the Nets at two.
Which I did consider. I'll be honest, I did consider that, but I just kind of thought, look, I'll give it to the Nets. Even with the whole Kyrie Irving fiasco with James Harden and Kevin Durant, it just breeds wins and wins. And they've got a lot of vets in their team. They're deep as well. They honestly have a deep lineup. So
Look, that was enough. That was the reason why I knew Kyrie was there, of course I'd have the Nets at number one. But I just think there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things going on that it's just... And the Bucks, they're freaking good, man. I tell you, like, Giannis is an absolute beast, and they work so well. There's nothing going on with the team. Their chemistry is there. I think they'll be hungry to win again. I think Giannis is someone who has greatness in his eyes, so I don't think he's going to have a championship hangover personally. It's a flip of a coin. I think... You said it's pretty understandable, the top three. I think both of us having Miami Heat at number three, I think it's worth talking about. I don't think many people, maybe not, I don't know. I haven't looked at the actual odds or anything like that before making this list, but we've got them over the 76ers and the Celtics. Are we factoring just the Ben Simmons situations with the 76ers by pushing them down to spot three? Spot four?
I think we are. If that whole drama didn't happen at the end of the last season, he'd definitely be in the top three for me.
Yeah.
He'd be above the Heat. But yeah. It's just the Ben Simmons hovering over that franchise until something happens, until a trade happens. And even when a trade happens, it might take a while to integrate that new player or players into that lineup. So for that reason, I just think Kyle Lowry fits into the Heat culture, baby, very, very comfortably. So I think he will have no problem, and he's going to get some more wins for them. Jimmy Butler was plagued a bit with COVID last season, had some injuries. I think he'll play more games. I think Bam Adebayo should take a step up again. So Heat for three, Sixers for four is my prediction.
Yeah, look, I agree for all those reasons that you said there. And then Boston Celtics, Atlanta Hawks, I think pretty stock standard. Atlanta was higher than this last year, but I think there's a few other teams that got better. Atlanta sort of just kind of stayed the same. The East is tough. I think that the East is... Dare I say, I think I've said this before, the East is the better conference. I think this is a deeper conference. There's more talent on this conference in my eyes personally. That might be a controversial statement, but I've said it before. I think it was last year when we were deciding the All-Star teams that I think, this is more talent in the East, in my opinion. So I think that the Hawks moving down to six is not a reflection of them getting worse, but just the depth of the East. And I think the Celtics and the Heat are both going to be better this year. Let's move into the play-in tournament. Who have you got at the East in 7, 8, 9, and 10?
All right, I'm sure we'll have some differences here. I think we will. I have the Bulls at 7.
Yes.
I have the Indiana Pacers at 8. I then have the Knicks at 9 and the Charlotte Hornets at 10. But I could, look, honestly, I think the Hornets ping depends on Gordon Hayward. If he goes down, I'm taking him out, and I'll put Toronto there for the number 10. I could flip a coin on those two. But Bulls, Pacers, Knicks, Hornets for now.
Look, we've got the same four. There you go. We've got the same four, but not in the same order. We both have the Bulls at 7. I think it's a flip-flop for the Bulls and like the Hawks to get into that 6 spot. The Bulls have looked really good in preseason. Yes, it's preseason. We have worries about defense on that team. Which is all valid concerns, but they look good. The chemistry looks like it's picking up straight away. I've got the Knicks ahead of the Pacers, and I've got the Hornets also ahead of the Pacers. So I've got the Pacers in at 10. The Pacers, to me, are the most likely to drop out just because they've already got some injury concerns. New coach, so there might be some different systems and things like that. Even though I like Rick Carlisle, I don't think he's the best coach in the world, but he's decent. And I too sort of had Toronto just sort of missing out, but just with, I think I don't think they're necessarily trying to make the playoffs, Toronto, but I think they are talented enough. OG Anunoby, I'm a big fan of this year. Pascal, Fred VanVleet are all good players, but I think the Pacers just scrape in there, assuming healthy. The Hornets, I just think LaMelo Ball, he's going to take another step up. They've added a few pieces. They've got a better center in Mason Plumlee. I think that they're young and just getting naturally better from the inside. So I'm more confident in them making at least the play-in tournament.
Oh, look, I think you're doing a little bit of hate to the effect of Rick Carlisle. And that's why I had boosted up the Pacers to the 8th seed.
Okay.
Because that Nate,
was it Nate
whatever
Mill?
His name was. No, it was Nate. He went to the Atlanta Hawks, but it was Nate Bordengrin or something.
Boysen, I think. Yeah, I can't pronounce it.
There you go.
Yeah.
He was a terrible coach. He was terrible. And I think there's that step up as well as they had some injuries last season. I think they're a pretty deep team as well, but I think the Rick Carlisle effect will definitely be pretty positive and boost them into the 8th seed.
Yeah, look, I think it's probably more of a fact that Nate Bjorken, I think is, now it's come back to me, Nate Bjorken's coaching, I wasn't a fan of either. So I think it's going from bad coach to decent coach instead of like, but I don't think he's a great coach, but he's a decent coach. So I think that they will see some good effects there. But Yeah, I don't know. Can you go? How far can you go with Brogdon, Sabonis, and Miles Turner? Like, I don't know. Caris LeVert's got that fractured back. We've got I don't know what the fuck's happening with TJ Warren.
Chris Duarte, baby, he's killing it. You see him in preseason, putting up minutes.
Old man Duarte. He's coming and saving the season. Look, yeah, I don't know. They could be higher, but yeah, I don't know. For me, they're still in there. I think the only difference we have is two spots. So, what about the Knicks? You've got them falling all the way down to 9 after reaching the 5th seed last year, even though they've added Kemba Walker. We've both got them falling, funnily enough, and I think they have gotten better, but just not as good as some of these other teams. I think they overperformed also last year. Would you agree?
I think they overperformed, and I think just a lot of teams got better. So I think that's what it comes down to. In the playoffs, Julius Randle looked pretty shocking. You might think that maybe some of the defensive aspects for other team will home in on his shortcomings that were pretty evident. So I think he'll take a step back. The defense on the perimeter is going to be shocking between
it's not good, is
Kemba,
it?
Quickly and Derrick Rose. They're not really stoppers at all. So
you got Evan Fournier there, Alec Burks. Yeah. Not a lot of perimeter defense there at all, is there? You're really leaving it up to RJ Barrett, and even he's not that good of a defender. So that's a very, very valid point. It'll be interesting to see where they end up because, I do think I was very shocked to see them in the 5th seed last year. I'll say that, but all credit to them. They might come out and do the same thing again.
They're in the 4th seed, remember? They got home court against Atlanta.
Did they? I can't remember. Yeah. Well, were they 4?
They got home court advantage, my man.
Oh my gosh. Good on you, Knicks. I'm sorry to say that I could easily see them outside the playoffs this year. So we'll see. We will see. Let's go over to the Western Conference. Run me through your 1-6.
All right. So 1-6, I have the Utah Jazz at number 1. I have the Phoenix Suns at number 2. I have the LA Lakers at number 3, followed by Dallas Mavericks, number 4, the Trailblazers, number 5, and the Warriors, number 6, sneaking in there.
Okay, very interesting. We've got pretty similar again. I've got one different team in there. I've got the Denver Nuggets instead of the Warriors at 6, but our top 5 is the same. With a couple of flips, I've got Dallas over the Lakers, and I've got Phoenix over Utah. So it's all pretty similar. My Mavs and my Lakers, I was flip-flopping. I just think I'm worried about Westbrook. I'm worried about the chemistry of this team early in the season. I think they'll figure it out by the end, but I just think early in the season they're gonna be a bit slow to start. Westbrook has looked absolutely horrible this preseason. and I just, you know me, I'm not a fan. But you've got LeBron James, you've got Anthony Davis, so they'll be up there. I just think early on they'll take a few losses. And I'm just expecting Luka, again, another step forward. They've got a new coach. Look, it's Jason Kidd, but I don't know. Maybe he's learned something with his stints at other teams, but just a little bit of a different look. We'll see how we go. Talk me into, you've got Jazz over Phoenix again, even though Phoenix made their way to the finals. Are you thinking that's just, I don't know, this cruise control for the Phoenix Suns, even though you've got them at 2? What's your...
Yeah, look, I could flip a coin in these guys, to be honest. The Phoenix Suns had a better record after the All-Star break than the Jazz for the back half of the season. Mm-hmm. The Jazz, I think probably they had a bit of a Donovan Mitchell ankle injury. He missed That's a few right. games. Yeah. I just think the Suns were incredibly healthy.
Yeah.
Which did kind of boost their record. You would expect Ayton to take a step up from last regular season, even though the playoffs he looked pretty solid. But I just think the whole injury aspect, surely these guys would slow down a bit coming off a finals appearance as well. So for that reason, I decided to just go with the Jazz above them.
All valid points. Yeah, no, definitely. That's a good point there with the health of the Phoenix Suns. You've got to sort of factor in, Chris Paul's been healthy for the last couple of years, but at his age, that might come to a stop this year. You never know. Let's talk about the play-in tournament in the West. Who have you got there? 7-10.
So I had the Nuggets at 7. I have the Clippers at 8. I have the Timberwolves at 9 and the Pelicans at 10.
Ooh, a couple of new faces in there. I agree with one of them. I've got...
Oh, wow. That's a lot of disagreement.
Yeah. Well, no, sorry. I agree with one of the new ones. I've got a couple of them. So I had the Warriors in at 7. So we flipped with the Warriors and Nuggets. I had the Timberwolves as well, but I had them at 8 ahead of the Clippers. I'm big on them this year, and I'm excited to see what they do. The Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, I see them dropping down to this spot here. And then instead of the Pelicans, I've got the Memphis Grizzlies still just ticking along at that 10th spot, I think, with Jaren Jackson Jr. back in the mix and some additions by subtractions. I think they'll still be a very solid team. Ja Morant, he's still going to be there. Not quite sold on the Pelicans yet. I am worried about Zion and his foot. So I'm not sure that they'll be able to get up this high. Let's maybe start with the Denver Nuggets versus Warriors. Were you close on these two? Like, are they obviously they're 6 and 7, but why did you go Warriors in the sixth spot over the Nuggets?
I definitely did flip and flop. And the deciding factor, even though I hate going up preseason, was the whole Jordan Poole effect. I kind of got convinced that this guy is a baller. Yeah. Maybe will help some winning. And the Nuggets still don't really have a point guard. I guess Jokic is their point guard.
Yeah.
So on that end, even though Jokic is as good as he is, he can get them into, you know, at least a playing game at a bare minimum. But yeah, I think the Warriors with Steph Curry and with Draymond and with a healthy Klay coming back, even if he plays, you know, half the games when he gets back, he still will be a positive influence, I think, on this team.
Yeah, look, I kind of agree. I think Steph was playing out of his mind towards the end of last season. I've got like a bit of worry that won't be able to be replicated. So that's why
he's done it like 3 or 4 years.
I know he'll make me eat my words. He'll go another level. So you're probably right there. That's blasphemous me saying that. But that was my reasoning. And Jokic, I just think it's easier to win from your star being like a bigger guy. But it's fucking Steph Curry, so I don't know. The Jordan Poole thing, it's a big thing because you've got someone else who can take some attention away from Steph. Because when everyone's just coming in at Steph and double teaming him and triple teaming, like it's hard. He has to work very hard. So if you just got that one other guy who can go off for 30 on any night, it does make a massive difference. So I don't mind it at all, and I was flip flopping between the two. We're both pretty keen on Minnesota. Let's touch on that for a little bit here. We both have them in a play-in tournament. I've got them actually making the playoffs. No changes in the off-season. So we're just thinking that they're getting better. We're expecting a Karl Anthony Towns to be healthy. A second year from Anthony Edwards. I'm big on Jaden McDaniels taking a step forward in his second year. So, yeah, sounds like we're on board for the playoff Timberwolves.
I'm 100% right. I'm actually a big fan. Karl Anthony Towns should be healthy this season. You got D'Lo, who I think will be such a good pick and pop. I think the offense between him and Kat will be huge. You got Malik Beasley, who put up 20 points a game, potentially as a sixth man. If he starts, I mean, fair enough. It's the offense there. It's going to be so much lights out. You got Patrick Beverley to be a bit of a lockdown defender, who does work in the regular season. Remember, he has been a starting point guard before. He will be probably coming off that bench to be a bit of a instigator, just getting under people's nerves. That does help, honestly. You got Anthony Edwards, who was averaging like 25 points a game after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Pretty efficiently, too. He is the closer. They actually have a closer. This is a deep team. They got Okogie probably coming off the bench. McDaniels, who you mentioned, can be a bit of a defensive presence. Naz Reid as well. I think that man is destined for like a Bobby kind of playoff run.
That's a good call.
I think that's what Naz Reid is. Yep. He's like that guy off the bench. He can do it all. So
underrated, Naz Reid. We never talk about him much, but he's a young player, still getting better every year. So yeah, that's a good shout.
Yeah, I think that is a good team. I think you have him the 8th seed. You know what? You convinced me. I'm going to go 8th. I'm going to drop the Clippers down just like you.
Let's go. Hashtag playoff Timberwolves. Let's go. We'll get it trending. Let's do it. And talk to me about the Pelicans. You've got the Pelicans. I've got the Grizzlies. Were the Grizzlies in consideration for you? Were they close at this point here? Or what are your thoughts on Pelicans making it?
I actually think the Pelicans will take a step back. People don't realize that Valanciunas was the best player on that team
Grizzlies will take a step back.
100%. Valanciunas was their best player for like half of that regular season, to be honest. Ja was great, but he's not on the team anymore. And there's for replace of Steven, who is good defensively, but not offensively at all. So I see them taking a step back. I actually had Sacramento even above Memphis as well. So I'd be back in this. If Zion isn't healthy, I'd actually have Sacramento here at number 10.
Those were the three teams that I was considering as well. I think there's a clear 9, and then there's this 10th team, which I'm not too sure about. So I get that. I think it all comes down to Zion's health. If Zion's healthy and he plays the vast majority of games, then 100% they could be here. The team's definitely more built around him better. I still don't understand why they let Lonzo Ball go. I think he is a perfect player to play alongside Zion Williamson. I really rate Lonzo as a player. So I question that. It would require players like Nikhil Alexander-Walker to step up and sort of Brandon Ingram to sort of keep doing what they got.
Graham as well, just to fill some minutes. He's a good three-point shooter.
He's a good floor spacer for Zion. And he's not the traditional point guard, so they're going to put the ball in Zion's hands a bit more. But like I said, it all predicates around the fact that Zion's going to be healthy. He's had foot surgery this offseason. He's a 280-pound or whatever he is, man who jumps 45 inches vertical. Like, it worries me. It just makes me concerned. And for that reason, and they should be cautious, but yeah, I don't know. I'm just worried. And there's history of them being cautious with him, so it was enough for me to bump them down. And I think yeah, Valanciunas was good last year, but now you've got Jaren Jackson Jr. back. So it kind of like, I think JJJ is better than Valanciunas, so I think it's a net win in that regard. And I think that getting rid of Grayson Allen's, getting rid of just a couple other trash players and putting D'Anthony Melton in there a bit more, Desmond Bain's taking a step up. I just think there's some addition by subtraction on the Memphis Grizzlies to offset the loss of Valanciunas. All right, but let us know what you guys think. Who's making the playoffs? Give us your playoffs in the East and in the West. Who's your sneaky team that's going to make it in? It sounds like for us, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves that are making it into the Western Conference. So hashtag playoff Timberwolves. Let's go into the NBA awards. We're going to start with the big one. We're going to have a top three here, and then we're going to say who we think is going to get it. So let's go through the MVP first. Who is your top three without revealing who you think is going to win the thing altogether?
I've gone a bit cliche here. I've gone Luka, Kevin Durant, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's my top three.
I've got two of the same. I've got Luka and I've got Kevin Durant, but I'm also going, instead of Giannis, I've got Joel Embiid in there as well. Factoring in the case that I think I made this list before the Ben Simmons news came out, but I don't think Ben Simmons is going to be on this team much longer anyway, so if they make it high into the standings, it'll be on the back of Joel Embiid. Hopefully the health is there. The reason he wasn't there this past season was because he missed a few games. It was him and Jokic neck and neck. So I've got him there. Giannis, you've got him winning his third MVP. Do we think the media is going to give him that award? Is it sort of like a make-up for winning the championship last year? Is that your reasoning?
I am giving it to Giannis. He's my number one here.
Okay.
And I think it is because they couldn't give him three in a row. They couldn't do that.
Right. It's in the row. It was the consecutive thing.
They couldn't do that. But look, now he's won his championship. Everyone's got a bit of a high. Like, yeah. Oh, did Giannis, he beat Kevin Durant, even though Kevin Durant stood in the line. It was so close.
Yeah.
But I think in the regular season, Bucks obviously going to win a lot of games. So I'm going to go Giannis. I think the media have softened off a bit because it's not three in a row. It's just three total.
Fair enough. That is a different narrative. I do agree with that. That does sound a little bit better. And I think he's deserving. He's an excellent player. I think he's like a top 15 player all time, pretty much. I'm giving the award to Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant's my guy. I think if the Nets, we both have them at the two spot. I'm assuming you did this too, but I was assuming that Kyrie Irving wasn't playing this season. I still think that they can get to the two seed. And I think Kevin Durant, to me, I said this in the playoffs last year, he's the best player in the world. And I think there was a lot of that sentiment going around at the time. And like you said, toe on the line. He nearly made the NBA Finals. So I think he's going to be out with a point to prove. He's off that. Last year, he did that the season after he tore his Achilles. So he's got one year under his belt. I think he's got a lot to prove, so that's my pick for Kevin for MVP. But one of the hardest awards to pick. Last year, we definitely wouldn't have picked Jokic to win the award. I don't think he was really on anyone's radar. So we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. Let's go over to Defensive Player of the Year. Give us your 1, 2, 3 here, Cal.
All right. In no particular order, we're going with Giannis again. He's on the board. Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis.
Don't tell me you're giving me a back-to-back. Oh, no, it will be back-to-back, but another dual award. All right, I'll go through. I've got two of the same. I've got Anthony Davis and I've got Bam Adebayo, but I've also got, you know, the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, in the list. I think if there's any award...
I think people are off Rudy. I think they're off him. Like, Terrence Mann has tore him up.
That's true. I do think that, yeah, that came through in the playoffs. I just think he's just a... He's so easy just to put his name in there. And look, he's an excellent defender. Like he really, really is. Who do you have winning this award?
I actually have Anthony Davis winning this award. And I think the defense at the Lakers is probably going to be pretty bad. But if it is good, you've got Frank Vogel's defensive-minded guy. I think Anthony Davis will get most of the praise if that does happen. And they're going to win games. He's a big guy. He's probably should have won it. Maybe Giannis kind of stole one from him. Potentially, it went both. It was 50-50.
I had Giannis.
I'm going to give it to him this year.
I agree with you. I think that Anthony Davis will win this award. He's playing center, and I think that that is going to just put him close to the basket. I think his blocks are going to come back up. You've got the turntile that is Russell Westbrook, who's just going to be letting people go past him, and he's going to be blocking their shots. So he's going to be getting better defensive stats because of that reason. And if they are good defensively, it'll be on the back of Anthony Davis, because LeBron and basically the rest of that team is not not defensive minded. So I think Anthony Davis, he's got my bet to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. Let's head over to Rookie of the Year. I think we'll have a fun debate with this one. Give me your top three rookies. I think we might have the same top three, and then we'll debate the winner.
So you got Cunningham, Green, Suggs.
Yes, I've got the two Jalens and Cade Cunningham as well, because I think that's fair. Maybe Evan Mobley's in the mix as well. I think there's a clear top four. Scotty Barnes might get in there, but I think these guys, guards, obviously shine a bit earlier in their career. They're all going to have opportunity, which is very key to win this award. Who do you have winning this award?
I've got the Ferrari in Jalen Green.
The Ferrari, okay.
That's a nickname I decided to give him just now.
Is that something you've heard, or is that just the Callum McMullen just dubbing that nickname?
No, I'm going to dub it right now.
Okay.
That should be his nickname. He is smooth as they come. I think that, you know, you could go with the Cade Cunningham, who is like a nice, I don't know, nice Mercedes, but I'm going to go the Ferrari and Jalen Green.
Okay, yeah, we've got the Mercedes versus Ferrari comparison here. I don't mind it. I'm going Cade Cunningham. I think he probably is the odds-on favorite, number one pick. I think that...
I actually looked at the odds and they're tied.
Really?
They are tied, but Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham. On Sportsbet, which is a big one in Australia, they're $3.50 each.
Okay, interesting. I think it is close. I think, obviously, I think Jalen Green might have the points over Cade, but I think Cade's going to do more elsewhere with assists, rebounds.
It's all about
steals.
Points, Rookie of the Year, man.
I know points is the big draw card, so you might be right, but I don't know. Do people care like how much they impact winning with Rookie of the Year? If they don't, then maybe Green does have the edge. I think he's a bit up and down as well. I think Cade's a bit more consistent than Jalen Green. So we've seen Green go off in the preseason, but we've also seen him have a few stinkers. So I don't know. Maybe the inconsistency might be the card, although we haven't seen Cade at all yet. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. Are you feeling fairly strong? Like, are you like, yeah, it's Green?
I'm pretty confident. Really? I'm putting money on Green.
You're a dynasty owner. That's why, though. You're all about it.
I was always pretty high on him. I always said I'd be considering him over Cade at the draft anyway.
I do remember you saying that. So that's fair enough. Plant your flag. We'll see who's there at the end of the year. We'll come back this one and see how we go.
Take that for data.
Okay, let's go on to most improved player. Definitely some fantasy ramifications for this award and who we think can be like a breakout candidate you can draft in fantasy basketball and get some good boosts. But most improved player, give me your top three.
In no particular order, I got Jordan Poole, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Kevin Porter Jr. So two juniors in there.
Yeah, a few juniors in there. It's funny, I've got one that's the same and then two that are different. So we've got a total of five players here. I'll run through mine. I've got Jordan Poole as well. I've got Darius Garland, and I've got OG Anunoby as my other MIP. So our shared, I'll reveal my winner for this award, which I'm surprised, looking at your list here, you don't have. But I've got Jordan Poole being the most improved player. And I'm fairly confident with this one. I don't know what his odds are. I haven't checked. I think it was like last week or something. I checked the odds for him and he was paying very well. I should have put some money down on, but I think it's obviously changed recently. Who do you have winning this award?
I actually have Jaren Jackson Jr.
Really?
I'm not thinking about it. Contradicts my not having met this in the top 10 pick. but I think he is kind of due for a blowout season. He is a bit of a unicorn. Maybe he plays, I don't know. I think this is his year. And for that reason, I've gone with him.
Look, you know, I love Jaren Jackson Jr. I was a year too early last year in drafting him on my fantasy team. But, you know, it left a bit of a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth with the way they handled the injury. So I don't necessarily know. It's hard because you say most improved. Like, are we comparing his stats from like 2 years ago or last year when he only played like 24 minutes a night? It's a bit of a weird one. What are your thoughts on some of my other players that I picked into this draft with Darius Garland and OG Anunoby? They're pretty on brand for me. A couple of players that I'm pretty keen on, and I know that you're not as keen on. So I understand why we differ here. But do you think that they're a chance? Did you consider them at all as most improved candidates?
I definitely did Garland. He was probably number four on my list.
Okay.
Just because he I think he should take a good jump.
Yeah.
So he definitely is there for me. OG, not as much. I don't, like, he was still putting up pretty good stats last season. I don't see him taking a huge leap. I just see him steadily getting better.
I see him taking that, like, good player to great player jump, which is like that Luka Doncic jump from a couple of years ago. Maybe not that kind of level.
Like a Pascal Siakam jump when he was most improved.
Yeah, like that good player to, all right, now you're all-stars, close to all NBA kind of level. It's the kind of jump I see him playing, because he wasn't an all-star last year. I think he'll get an all-star nod this year, if I'm just forecasting ahead, but not quite enough to... I think those types of players are hard to actually win the award, which is why I've got Jordan Poole, because Jordan Poole, no one knew who Jordan Poole was last year, and he's already generating buzz in the preseason. I think I'm surprised you didn't have him as your number one pick. We're both keen on him in fantasy.
Yeah, look, I could be persuaded. This one I was pretty close to. Even Kevin Porter Jr. I did actually quite like. So
he is a good one. He showed some flashes. He had a 50-point game last year, but obviously the inconsistency was there. John Wall's no longer playing for this team. He's still there, but not playing. So obviously he's going to have the green light there to put up a bunch of shots. So he was someone I definitely consider. All right, last one we're going to touch on today, guys. We are talking about the Sixth Man of the Year Award. I always hate projecting this award at the start of the season because I have no idea who's coming off the bench and what teams are going to look like and shit like that. So I never put money on this one because it's the least confident I am. But I'll throw out my candidates. I've got Jordan Clarkson, De'Anthony Melton, and I've also got Tyler Hero on my list there. Callum, who do you have? Do you have any crossovers there?
Look, I do also have Jordan Clarkson, Tyler Hero.
Okay.
My third guy in there is Terrence Mann.
Okay. So you got Terrence Mann. I've got De'Anthony Melton. You touched on Terrence Mann previously in our fantasy videos, but you think he's coming off the bench the entire year? You don't think he's getting into the starting lineup or anything like that?
I think the lineup is to some degree set a bit. There will be some injuries, which helps with your sixth man. You need him to start a few games, but I do think that Bledsoe has that starting point guard role. Yeah. I can see Terrence Mann closing out games, though. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I can see that too. And he's a fun pick. I don't think I necessarily considered him, but hearing his name, I don't hate it at all. Like I said, I don't really love trying to predict this pick at this point of the year because I have no idea how rosters are going to and lineups are going to shake out 1 month into the season. I think for me, the winner on this list here for me is Tyler Hero, because I think I've seen him... Look, I could give it to Jordan Clarkson. He might be the more obvious choice because they kind of pigeonhole the same player in this award. It seems like Jamal Crawford and those kind of types, and Jordan Clarkson's the latest version of that. But Tyler Hero fits that mold with the scoring, shooting slash point guard that they love to give this award to, and I think he's going to take another step forward. He's comparing himself to some big names. I don't know if you saw on Twitter today. He was comparing himself to like Luka and all these guys, and it says he should be mentioned right up atop there. I wouldn't go that far, Tyler Hero, but I think he's going to have a good year, and I think he's coming off the bench behind Butler and Kyle Lowry, so I think he's going to get a lot of interest for this Sixth Man Award.
Yeah, well, look, Tyler Hero was my guy. That's why I picked to win the award.
I think
he can do it. He should get the points. He's looking amazing in preseason, by the way. He obviously is a six-man role. I think that's when you do want to make bets for these, just like Jordan Clarkson last season, you want to lock in a guy who is just, he's set for the six-man role, and that's what he was. So, look, I'm all in on Tyler Hero. I will mention, though, I called Jordan Clarkson last season. I said before the season, this man has six-man written all over him.
Yeah.
I put a bet on him. He won me a good amount of money. So thank you for that, Jordan Clarkson. This year, I might be putting a little bit on Tyler Hero, but I still will be putting some on Clarkson as well because that man, once again, is built for the six-man role. I think it's between them two. Obviously, things can change.
Yeah, I think those are the two I was considering. De'Anthony Melton, I kind of threw in there because I think he's a really good player and I think he's going to come off the bench. I don't necessarily think he fits this mold because he's got that defensive side and people don't take that into account for this award for some odd reason. But yeah, I think I'm comforted by the fact that you've got Tyler Hero here as well as me being the six-man predicting master that you are. So I feel better about my pick now. Let's throw one of these on it if you guys want to chuck a bet on for the awards. I think that's going to be our
guarantee
for these award picks, the one that we're probably agree on the most. I also really do like Jordan Poole as a most improved candidate, although I would have to check the odds on that because I think they're coming in very, very quickly on that one. All right. Well, that will do it for us today, guys. Last podcast before the season starts. I'm taking a week off when the season starts. So we will be doing some fantasy basketball podcasts during the season, but just maybe not after the first few days. Maybe a week into the season, we'll come at you with some waiver wire pickups, some buy lows, sell highs, stash candidates, what you should be doing when the season starts, and things like that. All that content will be coming. If we're off social media for a little bit, we're just kicking up our feet after the season starts, watching some basketball, but anything major happens, we'll be on there letting you guys know, giving our fantasy takes. Make sure you are subscribed. We are continuing this all season long, so make sure you're subscribed, like the video, share with your mates, and we will catch you guys next time. Good luck with your fantasy basketball drafts if they're happening late. Let's go.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.